Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. Today, I am graced with the presence of Pastor Jose Cortez Jr., who is currently serving as the Associate Director for Evangelism in the Ministerial Association in the North American Division. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Hey, Eric, it is so good to be able to be here with you. And I was wondering, when is it that Eric is going to ask me to come on his show, man? I see all of these people coming on your show and not me. So I'm like, hey, totally feeling left out here, man. But hey, glad that we're able to do this. Much love for you and for everything that you do, my brother.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor. But we got to be honest with the people. You and I know that when I started this, you were one of the first people I called upon to be on this show because we got to see, well, I got to see you work for many years as the youth director for Greater New York, then the Atlantic Union youth director. And before I even ask you a question, let me just do this real quick story. The first time I ever met you, Pastor Jose, was at staff meeting. I snuck in because that's what I used to do. I snuck into Atlantic Union Camporee staff meeting when you were just Greater New York youth director. Bill Wood was the youth director for the Atlantic Union. And all of a sudden you were in charge, I believe, of the parade. And you got up to debrief or brief about the parade. And then you said, hey, how about those Yankees? And I said, this guy over here, who is he? And so, because, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, I'm a big Red Sox fan. And ever since then, I've been following your ministry, and it's been a blessing to see you work. So, Pastor Jose, let us know, what is it that you do currently at the North American Division? What we know that it's the Associate Director for Evangelism, but what does that mean in the scope of our church?
Yeah, they have asked me to serve as a associate director for the Ministerial Association, but the area that I lead is evangelism, church planting, church growth, mission to the cities. So the areas that have to do with the Seventh-day Adventist Church growing and expanding and multiplying. So right now, for example, we're dealing with a new initiative, a vision focus for these 5 years that is called Multiply. We have several others. You know, we have emphasis on media and emphasis on mentorship, but we also have the emphasis on Multiply. So that's my area of pretty much of ministry at this point, working with our counterparts, our union conferences, and also with the general conference on seeing how God can use our church to multiply in these difficult times in which we live in North America.
Wow, awesome. I know this is gonna be not in the same vein of the question, but it just is in my head and I have to ask it. One of the things that people know you for, and you're currently wearing the shirt that signifies it, and that is compassion.
That is correct, yes.
When that initiative was in Atlantic Union, Southern New England Conference was excited about it, all the conferences of the union, we all banded together for this. Can you let us know, how did this idea come about, and why are you so passionate about compassion?
Well, listen, it was very interesting because I got to the Atlantic Union. And as a youth director in Greater New York, we had done so many different things. Well, we had gotten to the point in which we had said, youth ministries is awesome, but it is even more awesome, and it is what it is meant to be once we're loving our communities. So I remember my last theme in the Greater New York Conference was God's City, My City. Okay? So that was, you know, it is, New York is my city, but it's also God's city. Okay, and if it is God, it has to be mine, and I have to do something for my city. So we had young people all over the city, loving the city and enjoying serving. And I remember getting to the Atlantic Union, and the union president at the time, he said, Jose, you can do whatever you want to do here, but there is one thing that you cannot not do. There is one thing that must be done, and that is the Academy Leadership Conference. And that was something that the youth director did together with the education leaders of the union. We got the leaders from the different academies come together for a weekend at a camp, and we talked to them about leadership. So this was, I believe we were now in 2011, and so we started getting ready for that. The first one would take place in 2012. Okay, remember that a few months prior to the event, I asked my secretary at the time, her name was Milka Amish. I don't know if you remember Milka. And I remember asking Milka, how many people do we have registered for the Academy Leadership Conference? And she said, I think we have one. Okay, so I was like, okay. So I started calling the different chaplains all around the Atlantic Union at the different schools. And the reply that I began to get from them was pretty much the same. It's like, kids are not really interested after they sit all week in school to go for a weekend to a camp to sit down and get more information. So I was like, hey, but guys, this is what we've had, and I cannot let it fall. It's that one thing that I must do. We want to do other things, but we must do this thing. So please help us out. And once again, I began to feel like the union is here to support what the conferences do and what the local churches do. But I began to feel as if I was asking people to support me, you know, like you guys are there to support the union, you know. So I remember that a few weeks after that, I asked Milka, how many people do we have? And she said, well, we have 7. Okay. And so I said, man, this is no good. This is a first union event that I want to do with 7 people. And I was coming from Greater New York, where we had people in the thousands in anything that we did, you know? So I was like, I remember driving through Leominster one day, you know, and saying, what in the world am I doing here? What's wrong with me? Why did I leave Greater New York to come to the Atlantic Union? What's wrong with me? You know, but something happened, and something that was really sad. But somehow God was able to work something good out of this bad, okay, in our ministry and in the lives of the young people of the Atlantic Union. I don't know if you remember Superstorm Sandy.
Yes.
You know, 2012 came roaring up the East Coast of the United States and devastated New York City, Southern Connecticut, And I remember driving into New York one of these days after the storm and prior to the leadership conference. I had to put gasoline like 45 minutes before I entered New York City. And New York was ghost town. You know, the city of New York filled with people. And all, that was not the case. It was ghost town. And I remember driving through Far Rockaway and houses demolished. And it was a very sad story. And I remember saying to myself, you know, while people in New York are suffering, having a leadership conference at Camp Winnipeg, where we're going to talk to kids about leadership, while there are people in our union that are suffering right now, that's not going to show leadership. So I remember Eric that we met, spoke with the president at the time, and he said, Jose, I think that would be a great idea. Spoke to my education counterpart, colleagues at the union, and they said, Jose, you're right. Spoke to Eric, you know that our church, we are so well structured that one of our biggest obstacles is to change things, to be flexible. Yes. And that makes us at times it makes us irrelevant, because we're not able to meet the needs when the needs arise, because we already have plans. Okay, so a house is burning down the street, but we have pathfinders. Okay, we have men's brunch. So they let the house burn, because we have men's brunch and we have to have brunch. So maybe, you know, in 3 weeks from now, we can take care of the people, you know. But it was so good that all of a sudden everyone was like agreeing. And I remember that we had like probably 10, 15 people registered, 20. I don't remember. It was a while back. And I remember that we had one final meeting with all of our youth directors, all of our education leaders, union and conferences across the Atlantic Union. It was a conference call. It was a Zoom before Zoom, okay, before the Zoom times. And I remember that we agreed it was the Monday and the leadership conference was supposed to begin on Thursday. And we agreed to change the event. And we said that this, rather than doing a leadership conference at Camp Winnipeg, we're going to have a compassion trip to New York City. So we can bless the people of New York City who are suffering right now. We want to take supplies, and we want to look and see how we can meet the needs out there. And we're going to bless the people out there, man. And we voted that. And I was still in the conference room of the union when all of a sudden Milka says, "Jose, you have a call from Pine Tree Academy." And I went and picked up the phone, and it was Jamie Trott, the chaplain of the academy. And he said, "We just announced this over the loudspeaker here that the event has changed, and now it's not a leadership conference. It's going to be a mission trip, a compassion trip to New York City." And I had like 20-some people running down the hall, come to my office. They want to register. And next thing, you know, I do you have any room? Do you have any space? And I was like, let me check here. Eric, I had lots of space. We had nobody registered, man. It was bad, but I needed to preserve some dignity. So I said, let me check here to see if we have any room. Yeah, we have some room. So he said, well, we have like 27 or 26 people. I don't remember. Then we hung up, and then Milka says, I have Nino, Jonathan Nino from South Lancaster Academy. He was a chaplain at the time. He's calling. And he said, Jose, I just let the kids know that we're doing something in New York City. And I have like 30 kids that want to go to make a difference in New York City. Do you have any room? So I said, hey, let me check to see if I have any space here. And sure enough, you know, I said, yeah, we do. You know, next thing, Damali Boston from Greater New York Academy. She said, we had people going to Camp Winnekeek, but now that we know that we're doing something in our city here, I have a whole lot of kids that want to come. So to make the long story, oh, Bermuda. You know, the Bermuda Institute, they had to fly over, and they said, we have some more kids. They had like 6 people, and now all of a sudden they had 12 people that wanted to come. So all I want to say was that we went from like 20-some people to like 120, 130 in like 15 minutes. Okay? And I said, there is something about serving others. There is something about compassion that moves younger generations in this church. So we need to make this bigger. Ha! And that was the birth of compassion right there. Okay. The following year, 2013, you know, all kinds of evangelists were coming down to New York City to do evangelism. And it was great. But they asked, what are young people going to do? And we said, well, we have this compassion movement that has been born. So we're going to bless our communities with actions of practical actions of love and compassion. We want to show the love of Jesus and the love of God and the compassion of Jesus in New York. And then we had that big rally with thousands of people walking over the Brooklyn Bridge, 30,000 hours of compassion on a weekend. The media didn't come out for any of the meetings that were taking place in the cities. They came out to see young people who love their city, you know. So then after that, it went worldwide. So people are still doing compassion out there, man. So because that's something that young people who love Jesus, they love to share the love of Jesus in practical ways. All right. So I'm sorry, man. I'm preaching. Go ahead.
Listen, I was waiting and hoping to hear the ha. Once I heard it, I knew I was in good territory. And it's amazing to hear that origin story because, yes, I was around at that time, but I remember as well the how it just exploded. And it was, and from what I'm hearing from you, Pastor, it was definitely something that God was in, because the young people started moving like crazy, and everybody was starting to join. I mean, even to this day in Atlantic Union, the event to be at is the Compassion Rally.
Brought young people together, Eric. And I remember we had people, I don't know, you know, our church for years, I had a little bit of we've been divided, and we got to be honest, you know. You had the GYC crowd, you know, the more conservative crowd, and then you had the other youth, a little bit more out there, you know, trying, everyone honest, everyone sincere, everyone trying to please God in different ways. Compassion, we had everybody together because the one crowd wanted to be a part of it, the GYC crowd wanted to be a part of it, everybody wanted to be part of compassion. The more conservative, the not so conservative, the totally traditional, the ones, you know, I remember that the only concern was that some people say, well, but we're going to be doing some good things, some of these things on Sabbath, you know, is there a problem with that? I remember telling people, you know, Jesus did a lot of good on the Sabbath, and he said that it was good to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus said it. It's in red in my Bible. He said, it's good to do good on the Sabbath. So don't worry about it. It's good to do good on the Sabbath. God bless somebody in the name of Jesus, you know. So, Eric, I've come to the conclusion that if you want to move young people in this church, you got to give them something to do. And not just something to do. You got to give them something relevant to do. And in reality, you don't even have to give it to them. Just allow them to do what they are wanting to do. Okay? Because you and I and our young people and even us as adults now, we were not created to sit on a pew to looking at the back of the head of the person who is in front of us and hear a guy feed us information every week. That's good. That's good. But we were created to honor the name of God by blessing people all around us. And if we're going to be a relevant church, we have to be a church that is not only the church of the four walls, but the church of the town, the church of the community, the church of the city. That's what Jesus was all about. And we need to be about that as well.
Man, wow. Yeah, this is why I wanted to talk to you, Pastor, because this is the stuff that is really revolutionary, if I could dare to say, because the fact that you were willing to have this new program and it built a fire. All these young people were so excited about it. Another thing I did want to ask you, because this is something I think you were very, very big in, and it opened my eyes as well, is how active you were in the digital space, in social media. I remember you having a very intricate and well-designed youth website for Atlantic Union, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I couldn't believe how active you were on social media. Can you give us insight on why you thought that was very important?
Well, it's been happening for years. I remember when I served in Potomac Conference, prior to going to Greater New York, we created the first website for youth ministries in Potomac Conference. It was called PC Jóvenes, PC Youth, Potomac Conference, for PC for Potomac Conference. Then we went to Greater New York, and that was created by my wife, Joanne. I'm so blessed, you know, that Joanne, my wife, who is also now a pastor, I'm planting a church in Washington, D.C., but that she was very gifted. She's very gifted in that area. So I wasn't gifted. I had a lot of vision and still do, you know, but it was good to have people right by my side who were able to do some of these things. So she created that first website. Then we went to Greater New York and we created the GNYC Youth website, who became at the time the prime website, the go-to website for youth ministries in North America, pretty much. I saw people from all over and they said, hey, we go to your website all the time. And then we went to the Atlantic Union. And I remember the president of the union, I said, we need a website. And he said, Jose, but we have a union website, you know, and so do we need to create a youth website? Do you think people, you know, don't come to the union website? And that's my reply to him was, people don't even know that the union exists, you know. So what are you talking about, the union website? You know, of course they don't come to the website. If we want young people to sit around the table, we need to create a place for them. So we created that website. We did all of the other social media as well. And it got a lot of traction also, you know. And not only that, but we're very active in social media with young people, and that was a tremendous blessing. And for youth directors and leaders out there, you know, paying attention to and listening to the podcast right now, it is important that we use social media. It's okay to be connected. It's okay for people to see you. I want to make it clear. People follow leaders more than they follow organizations, okay? So at the same time that we're loyal to our organizations, it's good that they see you as a person and that your social media reflects you as a person, not as someone who is out there very detached from people, that is only about spirituality and nothing else. So in our social media, we have always been sure to talk to people of who we are. You know, we have kids and we have spouses and we travel and we go on vacation once in a while. And sometimes we hurt, you know, and it's okay. People know. So people begin to see you not only as a leader, but as a person. And that has tremendous amount of influence with the people that you're trying to lead, because they realize that you're not someone way out there removed from reality, that you're one of them. Okay, so that helps you with that communication. So, but there was something else. At times, I want to say this, and I want to say it carefully. There are leaders that don't pass on information. If you know what I'm talking about. So you have a union event, and some people think, oh, the union is doing this, and even though they all voted that they're going to be in the union event, and they all voted for it, but then they go back and they don't support it locally. They don't pay a lip service. They don't announce it. Okay. So in the past, this is how things worked. The GC told the division told the union told the conference told the church, and the church told the people. Okay. Nowadays, with social media, everybody talks to everybody. Ha, you get me? Okay. So at times, you may have something really awesome that is taking place. And there may be a leader who voted for it, who supported it, who said, we're going to do this. And I'm being very real here, Eric. This is real life, real ministry. But after they did all of that, they go home and they don't let young people know about the opportunity for ministry and for service that is coming up. And sometimes this is young people that's isolated in a local church somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And the only time that they have to see other young people is when the union or the conference or a district does something together. They have camporees with three people, the local camporee. And they don't know that there are thousands of kids that go to Oshkosh and thousands of kids that go to the Lake Union event and thousands of kids that go to Burlingame in the Atlantic Union. Do you get me? So when you go to social media and you take your activities out there to social media, everybody can see it. And sometimes there might be a leader who is not supporting, but people get to see it. And then people say, hey, how come you didn't tell me about that? You know, we want to go to that. Okay. And that happened in many cases in the Atlantic Union where people were not informed, but then all of a sudden they saw social media and they say, hey, we want to be a part of this. So we want to be respectful to the structure. But at the same time, we want to make sure that everybody knows. Everybody ought to know, okay, what's going on. Because what we do it to bless kids. Kids pay, they make decisions during the activities that we do together. These are events and are, I don't want to call it events, our experiences. God uses our experiences that we create as leaders to change lives, you know. So everybody ought to know. All right, so that's the importance of social media, importance of being online. If you're not online, if you're not on social media, pretty much you don't exist in youth ministries or in ministry for that matter, all right?
Wow, I'm so glad that you said it. I've said that many a times as well. If you're not online, you do not exist. And I just have to honestly thank you for the way that you showcase content creators. I know for one of your e-huddles, you had Justin Koo show up and talk about social media and its importance and things like that. So it's awesome when we have leaders that actually see and recognize. And so thank you for that.
As a church, we haven't done well with our creators. We haven't shown our creators that they have a very relevant spot, a very relevant place in our church. And I have a feeling that now with the pandemic, you know, the importance and the relevance of creators and of creatives in has been highlighted in the Adventist Church. Without our creatives, our pandemic would have been a much more difficult situation for many of our churches. And let me be very honest, the churches that are thriving and doing well during the pandemic are the churches that have trusted younger generations and creatives. I have given the creatives an opportunity to minister. Okay. There are churches that have, they have thrived and they have done well during the pandemic. There are other churches that have gone down during the pandemic. And a lot of that has had to do with our response to the challenges and to the difficult times. Every single challenge and every single difficulty that we face either makes us bigger or it diminishes us. Okay. And it all depends on our attitude to face challenges. Okay. So my advice for leaders who are watching right now and listening to us, consider the difficult situations that come your way in life, the crisis, consider them challenges for growth and for multiplication. And if you face challenges like that, you come out of this crisis bigger and stronger than you went into them.
As you said, multiplication, that brings me to the thing that I wanted you to touch on real quick. I had to, you know, you're on my show, so I have to give you some props and give you a chance to talk about yours. You have a podcast, well, the North American Division, by the name of Multiply. Can you let us know about that?
Yeah, it's a podcast that is a companion to a series of books with best practitioners. Okay, we want to see a church in North America that is not only a church that stays afloat. We don't want to see a church that grows, but we want to see a church that multiplies, and that is the whole point. During the years to come, we want to see a church that baptizes lots of people. Okay, but we don't only want to baptize; we want to create disciples that bring other people to Jesus. You know, because that's one of our problems. We baptize someone, and we feel that once we did the baptism, that we did our work. But no, you know, when we baptize somebody, that's a baby, and we need to help that person to grow up and to mature, so that baby can reproduce and multiply. Okay, so we want to have disciples. Disciples that make other disciples. So you got baptized, you know, we want to make sure that you bring somebody else to Jesus, that you just don't sit on a pew and pay attention to a preacher for the rest of your life, and you think that you're done with your Christian duty. You know, the Christian life is about multiplying, okay? We want to see churches that grow, but churches that once they grow, they go to another side of the town, another side of the city, you know, where there is not Adventist church, where people do not have access to a church, and another church is planted. Okay, so there is one thing is growing. I was born 7-8 pounds, you know, and I was a baby. I grew up. I'm 5'9" today. I'm 100 and some, almost 2. Well, I'm not even going to talk about my weight right now. It's pandemic. Okay, but that's growing. Okay, but you know, when I began to multiply, once I got married and I have babies, that was multiplication. Okay, so we want to have Christians who bring other people to Jesus, and churches that bring other churches to the family. We want to have one church for every 25,000 people in North America. That will be 14,000 churches. Guess how many we have right now? 7,000 between churches, companies, and mission groups. So we need twice the amount of churches in North America that we've had. So everyone in North America has access to the gospel through a Seventh-day Adventist church. So what we're doing with the podcast, we're highlighting the importance of loving people, the importance of serving people, the importance of baptizing people, the importance of equipping people, which is discipleship, the importance of planting new churches, and last but not least, the importance of revitalizing older churches that are not doing well. We have lots of grandma churches and mother churches who are declining right now, and we want to make sure that we help them to thrive. I wouldn't use the phrase, but if people will probably get me. We want some of those churches to be great again, but that didn't sound too good. We want those churches. We want the churches to live up to what God created them to be. That sounds much better, right? So there we go. So that's what the podcast is all about. All right. And it is in all of the major platforms, Amazon, TuneIn, Apple. It's on 6 different platform podcasts everywhere. Wow. Just type in Multiply in any of the podcast platforms, and you'll see us right there.
Awesome. Pastor Jose, it was an extreme pleasure to speak with you today on this podcast and to learn from you. I mean, you are a treasure trove of information, inspiration, and I'm sure that I will come back to the table to learn from you. But as we always do on this podcast, I'm going to give you just a minute to speak to our audience and to give some words of encouragement. There is a pastor out there who needs to multiply, as you said, but is hesitant to empower his young people. What words of encouragement would you give for that?
My dear pastor, don't settle for what you've seen before or what has happened before in your setting. Love your young people. Love them like crazy. That's number one. If you don't love them, you cannot do anything else. If you don't love them, you're done. Okay, so love them. You cannot afford to say, I'm not a people's person. If you're a pastor and you're dealing with young people, you got to be a people's person somehow. You got to love those people. Number two, have a vision. Begin to look at some of the things that can take place in your neighborhood, in your community, in your city. Have a vision. Number three, equip. Equip. God has given you so much knowledge, you know, and it's not just for you to use it on Sabbath on the congregation. Take time for your younger generations. Equip them. And number four, release them. Release them for ministry and trust them. You know, if they wanted to be doing something bad, they wouldn't be in the church. They would be doing something bad out there. You know, so we cannot assume that young people want to do bad stuff. You know, young people, and they're in your church, they are there because they want to be used by Jesus. So please, release them in the name of Jesus. Equip them and release them and trust them and see the things that God is about to do through them. He's done it in the past. That's how the Adventist church started, you know. And I believe that that's how the Adventist church, the message is going to end, you know, being preached and proclaimed and lived and experienced through younger generations. And we want to be here to see what God is going to do through them. So go ahead, man. Do your thing and release them for ministry. I said man and woman, because we have both. Release them for ministry and you'll see what God's going to do through them.